Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, hour two on a Friday, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're right here on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Week two of the NFL, glorious. A lot of interesting games. Can Tom Brady win? Are the Cowboys in big trouble? Do you buy Cam Newton? What the heck's going on with Kyler Murray in Arizona? A lot of intriguing stories. Last night, if you'd have said a year ago, Cincinnati-Cleveland, you think, eh, whatever. It's a great game. So much fun to watch. So many storylines.
Sitting there watching that game last night was like, it was dramatic the entire game. But as you said, like, you put big money on it.
Well, Cleveland, I
did feel bad for you.
Well, I will say this. I don't like losing money, but when I feel like I'm on the right side.
Cleveland's
the better team. It was a late backdoor cover. That doesn't bother me. Like, last week, I was on the wrong side on two games. I knew
well,
it instantly.
Well, that's because you keep betting Atlanta, even though you keep saying you're not going to bet Atlanta, and then you bet Atlanta. I'm not going to let you do that again. Is Cleveland on the no bet list, though?
No.
Because right now it's Atlanta and the Jets.
I can bet against Atlanta. I'll never bet for Atlanta again.
Okay.
And with that.
The Jets are on that list, too.
Yeah, Jets are on that.
Yeah, Jets in Atlanta.
Not betting for them, but they stink. I mean, the Jets this week, have you seen the Jets injury report? It is a joke. They have nobody left. Darnold's got nobody left to throw to. It's a joke. All right, here we go. Blazing Five.
That's a hot one. Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Five. Falcons at Cowboys.
I like Dallas -5 against Atlanta. Listen, Dak Prescott is one of those guys that he plays well at home. Some quarterbacks feel very comfortable at home. Last year at home, he was first in passing touchdowns, tied for first in passing yards, passer rating top five. And by the way, doesn't it worry you if you're an Atlanta fan? They outgained Seattle, and they got crushed. It's a cotton candy offense with a lot of phony yards in Atlanta. They got blown out, and they outgained Seattle and threw for a lot of yards. And for the record, Dallas loses their opener a lot. But Mike McCarthy, all eyes on him, a lot of heat on him. Now they come home against an inferior team. I like Dallas to win comfortably 30-20.
Lions at Packers.
This is all about the value of the number. Detroit +6.5. I'll take the Lions. They completely outplayed Chicago. You had to watch the game. They were much better than Chicago for all but 8 minutes of it. They were leading 23-6 in the fourth quarter. Then, you know, Detroit can unravel. I get 6.5 points here with Detroit. Everybody fell in love with Aaron Rodgers. You do realize 7 of his last 9 games, he's had declining numbers, right? You do get that Minnesota had 400 yards against Green Bay's defense. The Lions last year played Green Bay close. They lost both games by a total of 4 points. I think Matt Patricia, I'm dead serious here, the next 2 weeks is coaching for his job and to not lose the locker room. This is my upset of the week. I'm going to take the Detroit Lions with an upset over Green Bay. 6.5's a ton of points here for an urgent team that needs to win. Detroit 26-24.
Bills at Dolphins.
So timeout. Miami gets 5.5 at home. I thought we liked Miami last year. Didn't we like Miami last year? Now we suddenly think they stink because Belichick gave a quarterback trouble. Maybe Miami's okay. Maybe New England's defense is fantastic. Ryan Fitzpatrick has faced Buffalo many times. He's been fine. He's done very well again. This is not a shock. This is not a rookie quarterback. And oh, by the way, the Bills averaged 19 points last year. They're still babysitting Josh Allen. You see what they did in the second half against the awful Jets? Very uninspiring. So I get a Miami team that I liked last year, and I'm supposed to bail because they lost in Foxborough to Bill Belichick. You know, like sort of everybody does. I'm going to take Miami to win. I like Buffalo a lot. It's going to be, you know, typical Miami September sweat fest for the cold weather Bills. Miami wins 24-23.
Panthers at Buccaneers.
I'm going to take Tampa minus 7.5. All these lines provided by FoxBet, by the way. By the way, when Tom Brady loses in week one, have you seen what he does the next game? Yeah, he never loses, like ever. The Panthers are a bad team that have lost 9 consecutive games with a college coaching staff. The Panthers allowed 30 points a game last year. This defense is younger and potentially worse. Last week, Brady faced the best defense in the division. This week, the worst. Last week, Tampa had a punt block. Won't happen again. Tom Brady had a pick six. Won't happen again. And the thing about Tampa to watch here, their defense was actually really good. Drew Brees threw for 160 yards. That's it. And the running defense with Todd Bowles was good last year. It's good again. Don't get caught up in losing first week to the Saints. They should have. Carolina's defense is bad and really bad on the back end. Tommy wins by 10, 30-20, Buccaneers.
Patriots at Seahawks.
It's a number. I get over a field goal, Belichick. Okay, Belichick since the start of last year. Look at their defense. It's number one in virtually everything. Seattle's O-lines and D-lines are bad. They were outgained by Atlanta. Seattle's D-line's the weakest under Pete Carroll. The Seahawks allowed the most passing yards in the NFL last week, 434. Again, I think Seattle is the better team in this spot, but you know what this is going to be. It's going to be a short, quick game. New England's going to run and eat that clock up. That's what New England's going to do. They don't have a deep threat. And what's Seattle going to do? They know New England's defense is great on the back end. They're going to run the football. That is what they'll do and eat the clock up. This game's going to go fast the first quarter, but it's going to be gone. Seattle is the better team here. But getting 4 points on a run-dominated game in a good big game. By the way, we think Cam will get beat up later in the year. He's not beat up now. This could be a clock control game. I don't like Seattle's defensive front at all. Seattle wins, but I'm going to take the 4 points, 23-20 Seahawks. All of our lines provided by FoxBet. And I'm not going to say I'm going to win them all. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put pressure on myself. I got enough pressure in my life.
Buffalo is pretty much out of linebackers as well.
Yeah. I liked Miami all last year. We all liked them. Now they're supposed to be terrible. They're getting 5.5 at home and Buffalo's all banged up. I like them.
Yeah.
The whole thing about betting is value. I don't have to love you, but am I getting value?
Keep the emotion out of it.
Yeah, right. So now I will say this. It is interesting. I think Joy and I would agree with this. The last 20 years, there's been one team I knew what I was getting every week. Win or lose, I knew what I was getting. New England.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally looked the same. I lived in Connecticut. The games all looked the same. The preseason looked like the regular season. They'd get better late in the year, but they looked the same. Now there's one team in the NFL. I have no idea what I'm going to get this weekend, except ball control, New England. This is what's fascinating about Seattle and New England. Can you win not throwing the football? Can you win with Cam having 17 to 20 carries? In 2020, can you win in the NFL by being one-dimensional? Well, they were in week one. What's fascinating about this game, Seattle and New England. New England has been, for 20 years, the most easily predictable team in the league. Not just winning. Efficiency. They had you guessing. Week to week, Belichick's rules always been, it's a different team every week. This can't be. What you saw is what they are. They do not have a serviceable veteran tight end. They do not have a deep threat. What you saw in week one is what you're going to get with New England. This is a very limited offense. And so I think what you're going to see is a lot of running, both teams, and Seattle's O-lines and D-lines are bad. My feeling on this is most of America thinks this is going to be a blowout. But watch this weekend. This will be the classic game where we know Seattle has more dynamic players. Jamal Adams, Bobby Wagner, DK Metcalf, Russell Wilson. We know this is the classic game to watch line play. I know. I'm telling you to watch line play. This, if New England can keep it close at Seattle, it's interesting. This whole league now is dynamic, and it's perimeter, and it's fireworks shows. And I think New England's saying, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go the opposite of the league, and all we're going to do is run the football. because I think it's all they can do. So to me, it's a really interesting team, the New England Patriots, where I knew what I was getting every week for 20 years. And I now, if by the end of this game, it looks like Miami, then I will go back to saying I know exactly what I'm getting. But I'm fascinated to watch this. Do they have a second gear? Does the dynasty have a second act? And do they have a second gear? And I think New England's going to keep it close. My hunch is they're going to keep it close. Remember, Seattle does not have a true number one wide receiver. They do not have a downfield threat at tight end. And they have a below average offensive line. And we know Bill's the best defensive coach perhaps in the world ever. Fascinating game to watch this weekend. Rich Orenberger played for the Patriots. He's got thoughts on that game. And his thoughts on Joe Burrow last night. Wild, really interesting second Thursday night game. That was on the NFL Network. Really, really interesting Sunday as well. We'll talk about that coming up. It's The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Start your Saturday strong at 10 a.m. Eastern with the Big Noon Kickoff Show, followed by the Big Noon Game of the Week as Houston takes on Baylor on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
That game wasn't even scheduled 10 days ago. So college football is going to be bumpy. We've already had like 15 cancellations or something like that. I mean, like for college football, it's not going to be as streamlined as the NBA, NHL bubble, or renting an island for the UFC. I think college football is going to have some starts and stops, and that's okay. I mean, these are not paid athletes. This is not professional. There's not a CBA. You don't have a collective bargaining. So I think college football is going to be bumpy, but I'm glad it's back. I like Big Ten football.
And the environments are completely different than professional. They don't all own their own homes, massive, and condos away from everybody.
And by the way, you don't have limitations on practice. College football, you can only practice 17 hours a week. NFL can keep you there all day.
It's very different.
It is very different. Rich Orenberger played in the NFL offensive lineman for the New England Patriots, Arizona Giants, Chargers. And he is now joining us live from San Diego. All right, Baker and Burrow, is it possible the losing quarterback was actually way more impressive?
Absolutely possible. In fact, it's the truth. Baker Mayfield, he is surviving, it feels like, what is now a collection of input from years of coaching changes. I mean, this guy's had four head coaches. He's had four offensive coordinators. And when they can establish the run game, things look better for Baker. But when the games rely on him making decisions, imagine how many different voices are running through his head, how many different languages are running through his head, how many different route concepts are running through his head. It's no wonder that he looks confused at times still now as a veteran. It's because he's had so much input. So yeah, Joey B, I think, impressed more because he's new to the NFL. He's playing behind a poor offensive line. And he got the job done for the most part. And he's careful with the football, especially after last week we saw a poor interception on what looked like he was trying to set up a screen pass. And he protected the football way better, and he delivered some dimes for sure.
Yeah, I liked him. You know, we were talking about New England and Seattle. What teams do in week one, you know, doesn't mean they're going to do it week two. But if New England comes out and just doesn't really throw the football, you've been in that system. Can New England just figure out a way with their offensive front, running backs, and just to not throw the football and win? Do you think, I think that's what they're going to have to do. Can you win that way in this league?
You can, but it's going to take a monumentous effort from your defense. And they may have a good enough defense to really do that. They have an excellent secondary. I mean, they really can lock people down with McCourty and Gilmore. Then it comes down to, can Cam stay healthy running the ball 15 to 20 times a game? Because that may be what it takes. I mean, Sony Michel, we're still waiting to see if he's going to be the player he was in college. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. Cam Newton certainly is a capable ball carrier, but he's in his 30s. And so that's a lot of abuse for a guy who's already taken a lot of abuse. But this is the plan, or at least it seems like the plan out the gates. It's to sit on the football, you know, make these long 9, 10, 11, 12 play drives, make the defense absolutely pay early in the game, wear them down, keep the opposing offenses off the field for as long as you possibly can, and try to limit scoring to field goals. and you'll see more W's than losses. At least that's the plan for New England.
Yeah. You know, Brady, I Chris Godwin may not play. Leonard Fournette's brand new. Their left tackle struggling. Gronk was retired. What do you think we see this weekend on the road?
Look, it's going to take time for a bunch of these veteran quarterbacks to get comfortable in their new atmospheres. Think about any change you go through in your life. I say this all the time. If you switch my toothbrush from one side of the sink to the other, it's going to ruin my week. But yeah, I can't imagine playing somewhere for 20 years, for two decades, the majority of his life, and then moving to Tampa Bay and starting all over with a different coach, different voices in the room, a different locker room. I think it's going to take a little while. And I mean that for Teddy Bridgewater now too, and Phillip Rivers also, a guy who's been with the Chargers his whole career. Now he's in Indianapolis. So I think this offense suffered greatly from the lack of the extended preseason they're used to. And he's going to take a little bit longer to get comfortable. But this team, once it clicks in, watch out, because they do have a lot of weapons other than Godwin, and Gronk needs to get rolling. He needs to get back into football shape before he's going to be trusted the way he was in that New England offense.
So the team I didn't have high expectations for, and I said this to Joy the other day, I may have just missed on this prediction, is Pittsburgh. I just don't know. And then I watch them and I'm like, are the Giants awful? Or is Pittsburgh good? What did you see with Pittsburgh that you think is literally, you know, they went in hiding for a year and they may be a real team now, a top 5-6 team?
Well, it's actually a little bit of what last year that reinforces what I think of them this year. That was a team that, I mean, had every excuse in the world to have an absolute abysmal season, and they were a 500 football team. I mean, that's an unbelievable accomplishment. Mike Tomlin should have earned Coach of the Year for that, because they were playing with their third-string quarterback, a guy who was on practice squad, and Devlin Hodges, who's not even with the team anymore, was commanding that ship and getting wins in prime time. I mean, just ridiculous circumstance. So Tomlin coached his pants off last season. The defense is the reason why I rest assured that Pittsburgh's back in some ways. Because that defense is real. What TJ Watt can do, he's a one-man wrecking ball, and he doesn't get the recognition of his older brother. He's an insane athlete. He may be better than JJ, even at his prime. I'm convinced that he's a real problem. He's circled twice on everybody's game plan. Besides that, Ben, especially in the second half, looked like he eased back in and he settled down, and he looked like the Big Ben who's been competent throughout the latter half of his career. Benny Snell ran the air out of the ball. Yeah. They lost their right tackle, which was a problem, but I'm high on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I may have missed on him. You know, it's interesting. Dallas has a little bit, and I was saying that when Dak came into the league, it was not the way, like when Magic Johnson came in, he got Kareem. That's not what happens. When you're a rookie and you get drafted high, you end up going to like Atlanta or Charlotte, or you go to a bad team. Like, Dak came into the league and it wasn't even real. It's like, oh, you get the best offensive line, the second best running back, a former NFL offensive coach, a rich owner. By the way, Jason Witten, security blanket, Dez Bryant. It's like, okay, that's not the real. The real is what Dak has now. Tyron Smith is not healthy. The center retires. Zeke's not as dynamic, and your defense can't stop anybody. But give me the – because Tyron Smith is banged up. The right tackle's out. Center's retired. What's the gap between – a first-string offensive lineman and the backup? Should I be worried that if Tyron Smith misses four games, or can you with backups, can Dallas kind of patchwork the O-line with all these skilled people in Dak and still win football games?
It's a great question, because so few people understand what the gap can be from a starter to a second-tier offensive lineman. Here's the best example I'll give you. It's fun to draft in fantasy, you know, the first 3 to 5 rounds, because you're scooping up all the first receivers, all the A1 guys. And then it gets difficult because people don't know who the second receivers, the slot guys, you know, the dependable off-the-bench guys are. That's the same with the offensive line. We know a few offensive linemen by name, the Luans, the Smiths of the world, right? And then outside of that, we don't know anybody. And it's the reason, because there's a precipitous fall from a top-flight starting tackle to who's behind him usually, right? So it's going to take a while for Dallas to recover from that. You may have to run away from liabilities on the offensive line. You may have to slide protections to liabilities on the offensive line. It can change everything. So, yeah, this is the first real hurdle Dak has felt as far as poor offensive line play in front of him. And so this offense is going to have to adjust. They're going to have to get a lot more creative with how they hide some of those limitations up front so that Dak can still shine, because he's absurdly talented. He just needs to be protected like all of these great QBs in the NFL.
Rich Ohrenberger, Steve Hartman, Sports Radio, Fox Sports Radio, 1 through 5 on, that's Sunday, on Fox Sports Radio. Good seeing you, bud. Love having you on.
Yeah, happy to be with you.
All right, thanks. It is interesting about like week one to week two. There's really one team in the NFL now. There is one team in the NFL I feel like, oh, I've got my arms around them. It's the team I've seen play twice. And it's Cleveland. I kind of feel like I know what Cleveland is. And hear me out. So I've seen them play the best team in their division and maybe the NFL on the road, and the worst team in their division, one of the worst in the NFL, at home. So I've seen the best and the worst. And there's three things I've seen in both games from Cleveland. So right now they're the easiest team for me to get my arms around. Number one, their defense is not great. Joe Burrow was 5 for 5 on fourth down. There's a lot of space underneath. They're not a very good pass defense. Number two is they still make too many dumb mistakes. Shocker, it's Cleveland. 8 penalties against Baltimore, a great team. 8 penalties against Cincinnati, a bad team. By the way, 4 turnovers in 2 games. And also, their offense needs to go through 2 guys, their running backs. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are the real deal. 342 yards in 2 games. That's against the great defense and against a not-so-great defense. Cleveland had a touchdown drive where Baker didn't have to throw. Okay, that's all you need to know. They should have had a second one where he didn't throw much, but they got risky and threw the ball down the field and had it picked. So I have questions about everybody this weekend. There's one team in the NFL I feel I get. It's Cleveland. I feel I totally know what they are. I've seen the best team face them, the worst team face them. I've seen the same thing in both games. Their pass defense is bad. They make a ton of mistakes against good or bad teams. And their running backs are fantastic. Pound the ball. They ran against Baltimore. Be one thing if they couldn't run against the Ravens and didn't run against the Bengals. They ran really well against Baltimore, and they ran really well last night. No team in the NFL has 2 number one running backs, except Cleveland. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Celtics blew another double-digit lead last night to fall to the Heat, 0-2 in the Eastern Conference Finals. After the game, there were reports that Marcus Smart was yelling and throwing things in the locker room and had to be separated from Jaylen Brown after a heated argument. There were reports that nothing manifested into anything physical, but Brown downplayed the whole situation, saying there were just a lot of emotions flying around. The rest of the team followed suit. Kemba Walker called the post-game turmoil nothing. I don't know if it's safe to say it's nothing. If there's multiple reporters saying that there was shouting and screaming coming from the locker room. And Jason Tatum said everyone was just frustrated and unhappy about being down in the series, and nothing happened that was out of the ordinary.
By the way, remember when Draymond Green and Steve Kerr, people were like, oh, big argument, and everybody downplayed, and we found later, oh, they had a big argument. Like, anytime, nobody would make this story up. As a reporter.
Well, there's multiple reporters talking about it, too.
Nobody would say, hey, because you have nothing to gain by making it up.
Right.
So let's make this story up. Guys were pissed in the locker room.
Or let's exaggerate it.
And let's give it names.
Right.
Like if the story comes out that guys got into it in the locker room, they did always. Nobody makes that story up.
Well,
you can't misinterpret that story. You hear it.
Right. And then afterwards, everyone may have calmed down and talked with each other. Brad Stevens said they reportedly held a meeting last Thursday night with the Celtics leaders to go through the emotions following the loss. So maybe they all, at the end of the night, calmed down and spoke to each other and settled down. But that doesn't mean that this didn't happen and that it is, in fact, out of the ordinary. Why would you be screaming and hollering at each other if you guys were winning? Or do you do this after every loss? And it's fine. You're down 0-2 in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's okay to be emotional and upset. The whole denying it thing is a bit weird. Like, it's okay if it happened, and multiple reports are saying it's happened. I'm going to lean to that they did. Why, like you said, why would they make it up? The thing with the Celtics is they keep blowing these huge leads.
We've seen a lot of big leads blown in the bubble.
Lead that's too big. That's why I'm excited about the Heat today, but there's two more games to win. There is no lead too big in the bubble,
this.
And there is no series lead
too
big
why
in the bubble.
Why are we seeing leads blown? Think about this. So when you get up by 18, there's no juice.
Right.
There's no crowd. So you get up by 18, and you're in a theater. In the NBA, you get up by 18, and you start blowing it, and the crowd's on you, and it gives the better team juice.
If you're up, it gives you juice, and if you're down, you feel the energy of the arena and of the other team building. It feels more daunting.
Yeah, when you're down 18 and the crowd's on you, you feel like you're just being it's a swamp. It's quicksand you cannot get out
of. And for us at home, when you're down, like the Heat are down 17, I'm distraught because I'm still consuming this television show, which is what it is, as that's how it's happening normally, and there is a crowd there. But yeah, if you're in the building, that whole energy shift is not the same, and it's obviously playing a role because we've seen this, as you said, time and time again throughout the bubble, and as we just saw with the Clippers and with the Nuggets multiple times, no series lead is too big. You really have to capitalize on any momentum that you get and don't let teams climb back into it, which the Heat have done in game one and game two. So Russell Wilson has already established himself as an elite player in the NFL, but when he calls it a career, he hopes to be remembered as one of the all-time greats.
I come to play this game to be the best in the world. You know, that's just the bottom line. I don't wake up to try to be anything different. Going into year nine, I'm trying to break away, you know what I mean? I want to be the best in the world to ever do this. I want to be remembered, and I want to be able to leave a legacy that people can't ever forget. And hopefully I can do that.
I love that he's not shy saying that. It's okay. He's not. There's humility there. He wants to be. He's not saying he is. I want to be number one. He's not saying I am the best in the world.
Everyone is not built the same, right? Everyone doesn't have the same aspirations.
Right.
I'm a very aspirational person. I learned quite a few years ago to stop pushing my expectations of other people or my aspirations for myself onto other people. Everyone gets to where they want to get when they want to get there. There's nothing wrong with him saying he wants to be the all-time best. Why not? If that's what he wants, if that's what his goals are, you actually have to say that. You have to say what you want to achieve in life out of your mouth, or it's not going to happen. Like, you have to manifest these things when you're talking about that level of greatness. Russell Wilson has been mostly, I don't want to say ignored, but certainly overlooked for the level of play that he has had since he's been in the league. And you're to your point, Pete Carroll and that defense were given credit for what that team was. And we weren't really sure if he was going to be able to reinvent the Seahawks after that Legion of Doom came apart. And he has. Now, how great they're going to be, that's the problem. With Tom Brady, he has an amazing organization, an all-time great coach. Not that Pete Carroll isn't, but he has some flaws. And is that, however great Russell Wilson is going to be, is really going to be dependent on the Seahawks, because he's going to likely finish his career there. He has the third best odds to win MVP this year, plus 600, according to Fox Bet. Mahomes and Lamar are 1 and 2. So maybe he's never received an MVP vote.
Yeah.
Maybe this will be the year. Finally, Joe Burrow had another strong performance last night, 316 yards, 3 touchdowns in his second NFL game, but the Bengals still lost 35-30, and Burrow is not happy with how his NFL career started.
You know, this might be the only time in my sporting career that I've lost 2 games in a row. Doesn't feel very good. I know guys in there are hurting. We're going to come back to work tomorrow and try to get this thing right. You know, losing is unacceptable to me, to everybody in there, to Coach Taylor, to everybody in this organization. So we're just going to have to get fixed.
61 throws, bad offensive line, all trailing, no running game, 0 picks, and a passer rating in the 90s.
That's the second most ever for a rookie, 61.
61 throws. The Steelers were babysitting Big Ben for 2 years. The Chargers were babysitting Phillip Rivers for 2 years. The 61 throws with no protection, and remember, all trailing. This is not Lamar Jackson struggles trailing. Like, it's not the same. When I lead and you have no idea what I'm going to do because I have a great running game, or I trail with no running game and you know I have to throw. 61 throws, no picks, and a passer rating in the 90s.
And keep in mind, as Peter Schrager mentioned earlier with us, he's had no preseason games. These are his preseason games. Live NFL action against the Chargers defense and now the Browns defensive line that is not a joke. He's getting bounced around back there. Now, some of them are still some rookie things. He needs to throw the ball away. He needs to get down. You know, it's the NFL. This is not college. But I don't know how you watch that last night and think anything other than the Bengals got their guy and this is a future star. And it's, again, similar to Russell Wilson, it's going to be dependent on what the Bengals do because he obviously has the potential.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
All right, Dustin Fox, very popular TV radio guy, former player in the NFL in Cleveland. His thoughts about Baker Mayfield. I thought Cleveland, that's what they should look like. Baker throws 23 times. That's enough. That's what I think they should play. That's what the offense should look like. Does it sit well with OBJ, who may get 3 to 4 throws a game? Does it sit well with him? That's what I think it should look like. One or two pops to OBJ down the field and run the hell out of the football. Dustin Fox coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Dustin Fox played at Ohio State, NFL for 4 years. He's now the Cleveland Browns radio analyst. He's also on the most popular talk show in town, Bull and Fox. Dustin Fox, Browns analyst, now joining us via the Carroll Global Satellite Network. Got 9 minutes with him. Here we go. Okay, now I said last night with Stefanski, I did not like the goal line throw to the right. I think that you're asking, that's a precision throw for Baker.
Yeah.
That's not Baker's fault. I didn't like Stefanski's call. But is it going to be okay for OBJ? Because I thought the game plan was brilliant. Keep a little Baker goes a long way, 23 throws. Is OBJ going to be happy? Because that's what it should look like to me, Dustin, every week.
Colin, I'm with you. I've said this week on the air that the Browns, to win football games this season, they've got to run the football 35 to 40 times for close to 200 yards, and that's exactly what they did last night. They had over 200 yards, 35 carries between Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. That's what the offense should be. They need to take the football out of Baker Mayfield's hands and allow him to be – people hate this term, but allow him to manage the game. I mean, that's what Stefanski did with Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. I think that's what they need to do here in Cleveland. You saw the recipe last night for success on the ground. Both those backs complement each other extremely well. And to me, that is the way the Browns will win games this season.
Now, when you say that on the air, because I totally agree with you, when you say we've got a new reality with Baker, 23 throws handed off, how does that land for your audience in Cleveland?
Well, I don't think people like the idea of Baker being a game manager because that term is just something that you don't expect from a number one overall pick. But they've got to just accept the reality. I mean, this is a guy that's, again, learning a new offense. I think they have to kind of start over with him in terms of allowing him to get comfortable. I think he lost his confidence last season quite a bit. And I think to get that back, you have to do these sort of things. You have to allow the Browns football team to run the rock. They've got two of the best backs. I heard you talking earlier. I think they've got two top 10 backs in the league.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I do too. By the way, you're just your impressions on Joe Burrow. You were in the NFL for 4 years. They asked him to throw 61 times all trailing. What did you make of it?
I was impressed. I mean, I watched Burrow play at LSU. I watched him when he was, you know, in high school, even when he played for Athens. You know, he's a high school kid from Ohio. So we're big Burrow fans here in Ohio. And this guy looked the part. I mean, the fact that they asked him to throw that many times with that poor of an offensive line was just crazy to me, but I think he looks the part. I mean, he stands in there. He runs when he has to. I thought he delivered the football. Not a lot of deep passes down the field, but you watch him on third down and some of those fourth down conversions last night, the poise of him, and even just the touchdown throw to Boyd you're showing right there. I mean, that was an incredible throw by Burrow. I just worry about him staying healthy this season. Can the Bengals offensive line do enough to protect him all year?
I do believe, I said this a second ago, there's a lot of stuff I don't know in the NFL. I always feel like, get me through September and then my opinions will get stronger. But I've seen Cleveland's unique. I've seen them play the best team in football and maybe the worst. And so my takeaway is I've seen three things in against the Ravens and the Bengals. Number one, and I don't think they're very good defensively, and I think you can throw the ball on them. I think that's you know, okay. Number two is they make a lot of dumb mistakes. I mean, they've got like four turnovers, eight penalties against the good team, eight penalties. Third thing is this running back set is the team. I kind of feel like now when I say that, whether you agree or disagree, this morning, looking at their schedule, Dustin, are they a playoff team? Do they feel like it to you?
I would say they have enough weapons on offense to be a playoff team, but you're right. The defense is what's going to really hurt them as they go throughout this season. Their pass defense, their secondary, their linebackers, they left it way too thin, and they've had some injuries back there that have really hurt them. I would say this. For the Browns to be a playoff team, they're going to have to do a couple things. Number one, they're going to have to rely on their running game. Baker's going to have to manage that offense. And Myles Garrett is just going to have to be a dominant player on defense.
Yeah.
He was fantastic last night. But for that defense to hold up throughout the rest of the season, they're going to play some good teams. Myles Garrett has to be an absolute beast.
What did you make, Dustin Fox, Buckeye, now that Browns analyst, very popular talk show host in town, cuts through it, no BS, straight shooter. What do you make of the OBJ trade rumors? I've never thought it's an ideal fit. He never told me he wanted to be in Cleveland. What do you make of it? What is your where do you go when you hear that?
I would say this. I don't think the value is there for Odell right now. I still think he's somebody that can help the Browns on offense, whether he's getting the four catches for 76 yards or whether he's just a decoy. I still think, and listen, Colin, I was a former defensive back. When you're out there, you got to know where 13's at. And when you have somebody on your team like that, I still think it helps open things up for your offense. If they can get him involved just enough, and they did last night, that's enough to keep him happy. And if the Browns win, I don't think Odell's a bad teammate. I think he'll be happy with the fact that they're going to win. But I wouldn't look to move on from him at this point. I still think there's too much talent there.
Good stuff. By the way, congrats. Ohio State's back. I don't think it's going to be a clean season, Dustin, as a former Buckeye. I mean, we've had some cancellations and postponements, but I do think young men in America can change their lives if they play. They're on tape. Scouts can see it. I mean, Joe Burrow's life, if he doesn't play as last year, he's a seventh-round pick. So what are they feeling in Ohio about the Buckeyes, the Big Ten? What's the feeling this morning?
I think fans are happy. I think the players are certainly happy that football's back. I called a game last weekend for ESPN, Tulane in South Alabama, and they had 6,000 fans in the stands, and these players are not in the Big Ten Conference. They're the American Conference, you know, of course, in the Sun Belt. They're playing football games. They're testing. They're doing the right things. The teams that, you know, are getting themselves on the field on Saturdays are doing the right things. They're taking it serious. They've got good veteran leadership. They've got coaches that are obviously doing a great job. And I'm happy. I'm happy for Ohio State. I'm happy for the Big Ten. They're going to get back. And hopefully, you know, we'll see how this thing pans out. But, you know, they're not going to have much room for error, obviously, with not having any bye weeks in their schedule. But hopefully they'll have a chance to compete for the college football playoff.
Dustin Fox, great job. Listen to him. Bull and Fox Show, Afternoons Cleveland. 5-hour show. God, that's a lot to be on the air.
It's a marathon, Colin.
It certainly is.
Every day.
We're running the 220. You guys are running the marathon at the Olympics. Dustin, good seeing you, bud. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
I'm going to throw, you know, we talked Burrow today. I want to throw this out there. So here's a game that looks totally insignificant, but I want to throw it out there. Now, we all know, Joy and I have been talking about this. These young quarterbacks they're playing sooner, and the hit rate is way higher, and they're really good sooner. Okay, because they're getting all these snaps now when they didn't get them. By the time a kid's 12 years old, listen to this. Dwayne Haskins goes to Arizona. Dwayne Haskins' last three NFL starts, and I'm a critic. Passer rating 111, completing 65% of his throws, 5 touchdowns, no picks. They've scored 27, 35, and 27. And by the way, they can't keep a tight end healthy, and we think all their best players are on defense. It's pretty interesting, right? Like,
what's interesting is, say, you know, Cincinnati gets the number one overall pick. They're not going to take a quarterback.
Hey, these young quarterbacks, that's what I'm saying is, maybe Washington doesn't need a quarterback.
Right. So there's very few teams that do need a quarterback right now.
Listen to what yesterday Greg Cosell said about Gardner Minshew. Listen to this.
I don't believe the Jaguars need a quarterback. I think Gardner Minshew can play quarterback in this league and be very effective. Now, is Gardner Minshew going to be a top two or three quarterback and be a Hall of Famer? Who can answer those kinds of questions? But he's a solid NFL starting quarterback. That's not the problem for the Jaguars. Gardner Minshew is refined. He's accurate. He's got a good feel in the pocket. He's got deceptive movement ability. There's really nothing not to like about the way Gardner Minshew plays quarterback.
Refined.
Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. Yeah.
He looks like he's driving a motorcycle to games with a hat on backwards. Oh, boy. Boost your healthy testosterone. M-Drive Boost and Burn. Check it out, mdriveformen.com. Walgreens has it. Hour 3 next.